You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
And that's me. It's always nice to know who I am. You know, what I love about my business, we have to do this disclaimer. And folks, for you that listen to the show regularly, or even if you don't, whenever you deal with a person that is licensed in securities, meaning a stockbroker, I'm a securities principal, they all is called financial advisor. If they are licensed to do securities, which means stocks, bonds, mutual funds, all kinds of things that are regulated through the SEC, they have to do this disclaimer at the beginning, saying what you just heard, and then we have to do it again at the end. And I get such a kick out of what we have to say, because basically it says don't listen to anything we say. And I get such a kick out of it, because that's the standard one. And if you look at any advertisement from any one of the big houses like Merrill Lynch or any stock brokerage firm, they always have the disclaimer, and sometimes they read it real fast, sometimes you can't read it, but it has to be there. This is the rules. So I've often said this is like being Catholic. Don't ask questions, you just are one. So, and forgive me for doing that, because that's how I was raised. Those of you that listen to the show understand that being raised one thing and having to do another thing doesn't make it something that you're not or that you are. Anyway, Team Martech, Joe Martech, financial advisor. We started doing these radio shows back in, we think, 2004, just before Hurricanes Francis and Jean. And we don't remember exactly when we did, but we're using that as our official date. And today we do two. We do one every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. on WPSL 1590 AM, which you can go to WPSLTV.com, and there's a YouTube video of each show that you can watch a day after it does, and supposedly pretty soon it's going to be live on YouTube video on the computer. Then at 4 o'clock every Wednesday, same day, we do WCNO, which is where we're sitting right now, Christian Radio 89.9 FM, and that one you can't see us, but we stream live, WCNO.com, and you can listen. Can't see us, but you can listen to us live. Now, normally I'm not here by myself, but on occasion this happens. I'll mention the team members one by one. Vince Rosino, CPA, also a forensic CPA, which means he's in court, recognizes him as an expert witness, is normally here. But Vince is sick. He went to the doctor today. We don't know what he's got. We're hoping it's just a cold. Another team member who's not officially a team member, Pastor Tom, he doesn't know he's not a team member, or he doesn't know that he is. Those of you that listen to the show, or maybe Karen, have you explained this to people during the course of the week or two that Tom has gone through quintuple bypass surgery?
Well, it was actually quadruple.
No, he told me five. Tom told me he did five passes.
He didn't tell me five.
He told you four. We can't count to five is the problem. Anyway, so then he had this done a couple weeks ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago today. I think it's 3 weeks today.
August 10th.
Actually, that's a month.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, time flies when you're having fun. And then this last weekend, he had a side effect, a problem, and rushed him into emergency. So he's okay. But he's hurting. Now, we're saying, say some prayers for Pastor Tom. He's a good guy, and I've seen the power of prayer, and so have you. And it can be a very powerful thing. I've seen a person very, very close to me that was body shut down. The doctors came out and said they had a 5% chance of living, And when you saw that person, they swelled up like a balloon. Every organ quit working, had on life support. And a prayer call went out from family members through two denominations, Southern Baptist and Assembly of God. And they think in about an hour and a half or 2 hours, they had 5,000 people praying for her. And the next day, the next morning, everything started working again.
The power of prayer.
Power of prayer. And the doctor said, nothing we did. I gave her a 5% chance of living because we hadn't taken the stuff off of her yet, the life support mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, they took everything off of her. And there she was. Now, she wasn't, how do I phrase this gently? Let's say she was a little loony to start with. So I think her loonyism got a little stronger. But she was a very devout, very committed Christian, and so was her family. And there was nothing but the power of prayer that made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I got into this, Mike Paulus, by the way, another team member, in fact, the newest team member, it's only been 4 or 5 years or something.
Yeah, that's how time flies when you're having fun.
I know, it's hard to keep track anymore. But we're just talking about Pastor Tom, you know, who had...
Yeah, I was listening on the way in.
So he said he had quadruple. He told me he couldn't pronounce five passes. So he just says, I just go with quadruple. So Karen says he said four. But they took him in emergency on this weekend. One of the bypasses collapsed or something.
Uh-oh. The smallest one.
Well,
the
okay.
Smallest of the
four. I think, you know, when it's like... I don't know what the small one or the big one makes a big difference, but it ain't good.
Right. No. So, you don't want any of them to fail. How's he doing?
You don't want it, but he's moving slow, but he's home. And he's you're talking to him every day, right, Karen?
Yes.
And
yeah.
Often she calls him because she runs into a problem and has to, you know what to do. So he's not, let's say, he's not jogging, but and he can walk and talk and do, but he can't. The stamina, I'm sure, is not there, and I'm sure he has to nap a lot.
But we're praying for him.
Absolutely. So that was what I was leading to, was a team member that he doesn't know he's a part of this team, but he is because, you know, we pick on him during the course.
Yes. And I heard what you said on the way in about the Catholics. Now, I'm Catholic.
Well, I understand.
And I went to Catholic school.
So did I.
And I did question it occasionally.
Did you?
And those nuns straightened me right out.
Well, they slap you up real hard upside the head. Well, see, I went to an all-boys Jesuit prep school.
Oh, geez.
I'm talking about, I don't even think the Jesuits think they're Catholic. You know, they think they're above the Catholics, whatever. But that's a pretty tough group.
Yeah.
And they, I remember in that school that I went to, did I ever tell you that story? No?
Well, I don't know. What are you telling us?
So here it is. I'm graduating eighth grade, and I'm going to St. Agatha's, which is probably $35 a year or whatever, cheap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And our neighbor had graduated from Loyola University in Chicago, which is a Jesuit expensive college. Good school.
Right, very good.
And he says to my dad, you can afford to send Joe to this all-boys Jesuit prep school. My dad says, how much is it? Now, let me tell you, I'm an old guy. This is 1958. $1,500 a year in 1958.
That was quite a bit back then.
You could buy a brand new Chrysler for $3,000 sticker price. So my dad quickly added it up and said no. So anyway, what happened is now folks, you have to understand, Joe Martek is a committed Christian. I got dunked in a tank at Calvary Baptist Church in 1982 in front of 350 people, and the water wasn't that warm. You know, so, but, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But the bottom line is I'm raised as Catholic. So anyway, it was just a coincidence that it was just my brother and I and my mother and dad. And on a particular Sunday afternoon, my brother and my mother were gone. And my dad and I were the only ones. We had a cottage on a lake out in the country. All of a sudden, four priests from this Jesuit high school show up with a case of scotch. You know how the Jesuits...
I thought they were looking for you to get back to church.
So they came in and proceeded to tell my father that he wasn't much of a father, that he needed to send me to this school. Now, the magic was they drank them under the table. Now, my dad had respect for people that could out-drink them. So the reason I went to this all-boys Jesuit prep school was because that these priests could out-drink them. Now, folks, this sounds funny, but I'm just telling you, this is what happened. You know, when you're a kid, you know nothing from nothing. This is what you do. Well, the next part of the
coin. These Irish Catholic priests?
Yeah, well, kind of. You know, that is another joke, you know that. But there are a lot of Irish Catholic priests, we know that. But the key thing was Father Hunninger, which was definitely not Irish, he was German. He's the one I'll never forget because he was a killer. In that school, nothing went home but a report card, nothing. If you ever complained and your parents came to school, that was your last day in school. You're out. Because they had 300 people they took out of roughly 2,000 that tried to get in. So, and then they ranked you from 1 to 10, dummies to smart ones, in the 30 people in a class.
I don't think you can get away with that today.
I don't have any idea, but I didn't ask because, you know, hey, all I'm going to do is get beat up. It's not a big deal. But all I know was if a kid mouthed off to a priest, didn't go home, they just took him down to the gym and beat him up. Now, it was a legitimate fight. But what they did, it wasn't the priest he mouthed off to. They took one of the lay brothers,
mm-hmm.
who happened to be a black glove, golden, whatever it was at the time. And it was a fair fight, but it was really one-sided.
It doesn't sound very fair to me.
So oftentimes those kids never came back to school because they complained to their parents. You know, so then parents weren't too happy about their kid getting beat up. But that was education back then.
Yeah, see, I made it to about eighth grade in Catholic school. And okay. Then I caused so many problems with my parents that they finally had to move me.
Well, and nothing has changed, has it? So Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, sitting across from
me. Yeah, that's
right.
What we do.
That's what we do. So what happens is, as we got older, all of a sudden we get legitimate like the rest of the people, and Mike's only been in the mortgage business 28 years.
This September.
And when we started putting the group together, I was looking for local professionals that were not new in business, that had credibility, and most importantly, integrity, meaning honesty. You do what you say you're going to do. You don't lie to your clients. And you and I both know, Mike, we see a lot of people come and go. Mm-hmm. They're short-termers.
Especially in my business.
And there have been thousands and thousands come and go.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah. But the key was when we put our group together, it didn't happen overnight. So Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Vince Rosino, CPA. He was Ray Lloyd, Remax Stewart, who, by the way, was on the morning show.
Oh, you made it. That's good.
That was good. And she's only been in real estate since 19... 19-
Must be slowing down for her because she's usually too busy for us.
She's always too busy. 1978. Now, here's one that I don't... We only know... She only doesn't work when she's sleeping. The rest of the time, I believe firmly she's working.
Yes.
If she's not, she's trying to work.
Yes.
That's just how she is. Hardest working, most honest person I think is any place. And she also Miss Bubbles. She's always excited, always happy. At least every time I've ever seen her. I'm sure she's not, but, you know, because nobody is all the time. But, boy, she...
No, she's the exception to the rule.
And that's it. Does anybody know more about residential real estate than her? No. If you want to know about mortgages or real estate, we got the people on this team. There's no doubt about it. And, by the way, I'm going to give you a phone number, class. You got to write this down, and you got to keep it. You're supposed to be calling us because we got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Joe Martek, financial advisor, sitting here waiting for your calls. And the number is, this is toll-free from any place, 888-221-8990. Now, if you're driving in a car, don't write it down. Just remember, 888-221-8990. WCNO, you can look it up on the computer, worst comes to worst, and the phone number is there when you get home. Now,
I do owe you a compliment because I listened to you last week. You were all by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had a great show.
Thank you. Yeah, we had quite a few phone calls.
Yeah. Well,
somehow or other, it stirred the pot. And
I couldn't call because I was in the car going to an appointment, and I couldn't make it last week, but you did a great show.
Thank you. 888-221-8990. Now, again, if you don't want to talk to us live on the radio, which you'll hurt my feelings if you don't do that, you can call the radio station, talk to Karen or Pastor Tom when he's better, and they will take your name and number, and we'll call you back. 888-221-8990. Well, let's talk about the rest of the group. When I first started doing the shows, the two people I felt were most important, and this is back in 03 or 04, one was an independent insurance agent. Why? Well, if you remember Hurricane Andrew, when it hit in 1992, it devastated Dade County, Upper Keys, and it put 13, give or take, companies out of business, insurance companies.
It was a horrible storm.
horrible. In the meantime, subsequent after that, many insurance companies non-renewed people, or they doubled or tripled the premiums. And if all of a sudden you were one of the people that was insured, you were upset, to put it mildly. Well, if you were insured by what we call a captive company, which I used to work for a company called Farmers, which is a fine company, years and years ago, and they're a captive company. And I have to take this call because if I don't, it won't quit making noise. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
A mortgage.
You got the right person. Mike Paulus is sitting here listening.
All right. This is our second house, second mortgage. We sold our first house, and I was just wondering how many years in, or is there a point to where you started paying a mortgage to where it would be feasible to sell the house, pay the mortgage off?
Well, it depends on, you know, if the house is appreciated in value. Are you talking about were you upside down in the house?
No, just looking at the switch neighborhoods.
How long ago did you buy your house?
A year ago.
Market has gone up in 1 year. How much, Mike, would you say?
Depends on the neighborhood, but you could probably count on at least about 6 to 8% appreciation over the last 12 months.
If you paid $300 and it went up 10%, that'd be $30,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if there was a time frame in between where you signed for the mortgage, where you were just paying just principal.
No, well, I mean, did you take a 30-year amortization?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you probably didn't pay much more than $1,000 or so, or
in a year,
towards your principal. Again, I have no, I don't know your particulars, how much you borrowed and what your interest rate was. But on a 30-year term, you certainly don't pay a whole lot off.
The first few years, you pay very little principal and mostly interest. And then the longer you're into it, more goes to principal than interest because you don't owe as much. So if you take,
okay, let's take
6% on $300,000 is $18,000. And if your payment is $1,200 a month, what would $18,000 divided by 12, Mike? $1,600 a month, give or take?
Yeah.
So you're going to, let's say you paid $1,700 a month, an extra $100 would go to principal, and the rest goes to interest.
You know, it's going to be tough because you're going to have, if chances are you'll sell it through a realtor, there'll be real estate commissions, there'll be some closing costs on your end as well. How much did you put down on that house? As a percentage.
I gotta get a calculator out here.
About, roughly.
About $15,000.
And how much was the total purchase price of the house?
$155,000.
Mm-hmm. So you put down almost 10%.
Right.
That's a pretty good chunk.
Now remember, though, it probably did go up in value a bit. But you're going to have some pretty significant expenses getting out of that property, especially, again, if you sell it through a realtor and pay real estate commission. So, you know, you're probably not going to come out whole on that.
Let me ask you another question. Here's an easy thing to do, because most credible realtors, and if you call them, I mean, this, I'm not saying you should do this, but the REMAX, where are you located? Are you in Palm Beach County, Martin, St. Lucie, where?
Martin County.
I would call REMAX of Stewart and ask for Victoria Lloyd, and let her do a comparable study, tell you what your house is worth based on your neighborhood, and that'll give you a whole different attitude on what it's going to cost you, how much you're going to make, and she'll do that for you and won't charge you a nickel.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, my whole premise behind the question was, you know, I've heard it from a couple sources that, you know, in the first 5 years you're paying just, you know, interest.
Yeah. So mostly you are.
To sell your
pretty
house
much
in the first 5 years, you know, you're basically just giving the bank money.
However, if the house goes up in value, which Martin, St. Lucie, Martin and Palm Beach counties dramatically have gone up in value in the last year or two. So,
especially homes in that price range. That's a pretty desirable price range,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very difficult.
Under
very,
200 is pretty hard to find.
Yeah, it's very difficult to find houses in that price range in Martin County of any decent quality.
Yeah. So the worst thing the easiest thing to do is just call her and she'll counsel you over the phone, and she might be able to give you some numbers without even coming out based on comps in your neighborhood.
Now, more importantly, do you know where you're going to go? Are you going to stay in Martin County? Are you going to buy another house?
Yes.
And what price range do you think you're going to be in?
Not too sure yet. I'm still looking around.
Because that is the challenge right now.
Yeah.
That's probably good.
There's not a lot of inventory right now.
Well, back again. Talk to Victoria. We know if she was here right now, we would put her on with you, but she's not. You call her and let her guide you. And even if you can't do anything now, maybe 6 months from now or whenever, you know, she'll counsel you. And I absolutely believe that she'll only do the right thing for you.
Okay. Appreciate the lead on that.
You got it, my man. Thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Now, the beauty is that he's still interested in Martin County, and in Martin County, there's a program out there through the Department of Agriculture. It's the USD Rural Development Program, and that program allows you to finance 100% of the purchase price, and it lets you roll in some of the closing costs in certain situations. So you can get in that property for literally nothing out of pocket.
So what? Bottom line is, when you talk to Victoria, caller, and he's not on the phone anymore, but if you or anybody else is listening, here's what happens when you've got a professional working for you. None of us charge you anything to talk to you. You know, we're all going to counsel you, and if you decide to hire us, that's a different story. But the reality is this: interest rates are still ridiculously low. Mm-hmm. You're in the 3-4% range for 30-year fixed, two somethings for the 15s, right?
Yes.
And you know they're going to go up. There's every day they talk about raising rates this month, December. Oh, it'll have to go in by December at the latest, you know, right?
I think it's a sure thing. It's going to be either September or December.
Yeah.
There'll be a rate increase by the Fed.
So
now is a good time to consider locking in something.
So literally, if you start doing your homework and find out what you can do, I mean, selling a house and making $50,000 or $70,000 never hurts anybody's stomach. And the worst thing that can happen is if you can't find a new one to buy, you could always rent for a year. Mm-hmm. And I know it's an inconvenience, but literally, it's pretty hard to imagine interest rates being any better than what they are today.
Yeah. I mean, to tell you the truth, if you were considering renting, I would strongly discourage you.
I understand.
Because the interest rates are so attractive. And prices are going up significantly, and rents are going for a huge premium right now.
The only thing he's got, if he's got a house that's desirable in a good neighborhood, and he might be able to sell it overnight. It's pretty hard to find a house to buy overnight simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But here comes Victoria again, and you let her know what your criteria are. Let her go to work.
Yeah. And you know, this lack of inventory, it's the same thing. It's supply and demand.
Right.
If there's very little supply out there and the demand is huge, so that's driving prices up.
And what's going to happen is we have what's called season, which basically starts a little bit next month when the snowbirds start coming back, and it gets full blown from January, February, March, and April. So unless something devastating happens, which I don't think anybody's anticipating, you know, we have pretty much full employment. They're showing now that average household wages have gone up dramatically in the last year.
Yeah, I saw that today.
All good things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, all of the indicators are very positive for people that want to move now until at some point, we all know interest rates are not going to stay this low. I mean, it's just this has been a historical all-time low.
And, you know, here's the difference. I mean, everyone's talking about another real estate bubble, but the difference is they're not building a whole lot of new construction.
No.
And the new construction that they are putting on the market are as an upper price.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not building anything under 200, 250. Most of the new construction I've seen out there is well into the fours.
Well, the other side of the coin is, too, when we had a bubble, when old houses were selling for more than new houses, there becomes a bubble because it's not the way it's supposed to be.
Correct.
Got another caller here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I have a question. I had bought a home 10 years ago in Fort St. Lucie. I moved here from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I put 50% down on the house. The house was $280,000. I brought the lady down to $270,000.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her $2,000 up front.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was listed like $280,000 because that's the only way she would come down to that level.
Okay.
Okay, the closing cost was $12,000.
Okay.
So I rounded off as $282,000. The bank that I got was a bank in New York, Emigrant Bank.
Okay.
And it was 7.35.
Yes.
I tried to modify the loan, and they said they don't go lower than 6.34, something like that.
Yes.
And for 5 years. So now I'm back up to 7.35.
Yes.
If I didn't put so much money down on that house, because the house went down to $90,000.
Yes, your timing wasn't very good. That's the problem.
I put out so much on it. I extended the porch. I put out a whole lot of money on that house.
Here's what you've got to be.
No, what can I do?
Are you sitting at home right now?
No, I'm driving. I'm in the car.
Okay, you gave your phone number to Karen when she took your phone, your name, right?
Yes.
Let Mike talk to you after the show or tomorrow. And what's a good time? When is the best time to get a hold of you?
Well, you could call me after 4 is good.
Because here's what happens. Mike, tell her literally what I'm talking about. You might be able to refinance her.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the lender that has your mortgage.
Yes.
Mostly they portfolio most of their loans, which means they don't sell to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, there is a good program out there, the HARP 2 refinance program, but that's really limited to loans that are owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Just when you said immigrant, I'm pretty darn sure that that's not a loan that we can do a HARP refinance. But there are some other options out there that, you know, because, and also in 10 years, I mean, the value went down significantly, I know. But they've bounced back almost to the level where you bought that property. So there is a good chance that you may now be at least at a break-even situation, and then there might be some options open to you. But we can discuss
because
that.
Of the amount of money that I put down on the house, I was shocked. It wasn't even value that.
I understand.
Then I put out $10,000 to rebuild, to do over the porch. Mm-hmm. I spent a whole lot of money, cash, to do the landscape and then, you know, do so much work in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It really hurt my heart.
Yeah, you know what we can do, too? I mean, you know, we work as a team here. And Victoria and I, we mentioned Victoria Lloyd from RE/MAX of Stewart. We work, you know, very closely in situations like this. You know, she can tell me approximately. She's not going to appraise your property, but she's going to give us an idea of what your property might be worth, and we'll start from there and see what our options are at that point.
Okay.
So listen, that's a good question. Mike will give you a call back, if not today, tomorrow, and then and then he'll counsel you and let's see what we can accomplish. It's not going to cost you anything to find out all the information, and if it works and he can get you into a 3-4% interest rate, you'll be a lot happier.
Yeah.
Yes, I will be. And I'm asking everyone out there, please, to pray for our brother Tom.
Very good. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you listened. I'm glad you called. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. God bless you all.
Bless you too. Bye.
You know, so many people were in that same situation.
Yeah,
they purchased on the highs in 2005, 2006, and then the values plummeted. And they were in mortgages that weren't guaranteed by the federal government, like Fannie Mae or Freddie
Mac. So what happened is, why would she get, maybe because she was from New York and she knew Immigrant Bank and they worked with her and then they...
Well, you know, the subprime market was a really viable option at that time.
I got you.
And the subprime loans, you know, they were very neck and neck and competitive with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
There you go. Yeah, so I forgot all about that time frame. 10 years ago, we were a different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, so they were competing directly with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they had some very good terms at the time. And you know, 7% sounds like a very high interest rate right now,
but back then
it was pretty normal.
888-221-8990. So I started to talk about Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, how important an independent is, because he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client, and under his umbrella are roughly 100 different insurance companies. So if one falls out of favor, his office, his staff can automatically move you to another insurance company and make sure you're protected. And because in my humble, not so humble opinion, Dan is the premier insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, I would have a hard time believing anybody can do better job for the client and save them more money on their homeowner's insurance.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times he's saved some of my deals. Because when we qualify our customers, we qualify you on a mortgage payment, which normally would include your taxes and insurance.
Right, right.
So if your insurance goes up, you may not qualify for getting a mortgage or refinancing your house.
Exactly.
I've referred several of my, many of my borrowers to them, and he's been able to reduce the payments and save the deals.
888-221-8990. Now remember, class, you're supposed to keep that number. You've got to memorize it. 888-221-8990.
Well, how come you always look at the sign?
Because I'm old and I have no memory. So, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Vince Rosino, CPA, who's sick, by the way, and I don't know what's wrong with him, but it's probably hopefully a cold.
I had some very important tax questions for him, too.
There you go. Well, today's not today.
No.
Because he's not here. And last but not least is Greg Fasula, attorney, who happens to be, in my opinion, the only attorney I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor, because he's just a flat good guy. He's not arrogant. He's not pretentious. He's a good listener. He's a good person. He's helpful. Mm-hmm. He's not expensive. You know, Greg is just a stellar person as far as I know. So our team, very simply, is out here either to make you money or save you money. Very, very simply. And we've been very blessed that we've been able to help a lot of people. And
I was able to refer you to one of my customers today and Greg Fasula because my customer was getting a reverse mortgage.
There you go.
And they wanted to invest some money and they wanted to include the house in a will.
So speaking of investing money, which it's funny you should bring that up. You know, it's funny I know somebody that does that. One of the things that I mostly am talking about these days to people. In fact, I met a fellow today that called in on WPSL, and he's not so young. He was an old guy.
Older than me. Anyway.
He was an old guy.
Yeah, he's an old guy. And, you know, the market is scaring a lot of people right now because by most estimates, the market is what's called full. Full means when they do a ratio of price to earnings on these companies, when the price to earnings ratio gets up around 18, 20, 22, that number is a scary number. 10 is what's called a preferred number. Below 10 is called bargain, normally. Now, this is not a 100% rule, but right now, if we take the S&P 500, which is 500 of America's biggest companies, the full boat, if we look at existing earnings, is around 20. Forward earnings is around 18. Now, forward means they're projecting what's going to happen in the next year. No guarantee it will. But if you take literally what has happened in the last 12 months, 6 months, it's around 20, 22. So
Well, there are stocks that are typically 22 and over. And they're kind of new high-tech stocks that really haven't proven themselves.
Well, not only that, some of the biggies. Let's take Facebook. I mean, that ratio is higher than that. Let's take Walgreens, which is one of the best growth stocks going. Mm-hmm. Doesn't fit the criteria that I like, but so what? It happens to be a stellar company, and they seem to do. Does that mean it's a good value today? Hey, not for my money.
No, you roll the dice.
But point is, for some people, if they're long-term, it might be just a fine thing. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, what I talk to people about now is what's called short-term money, and that's things that pay 5 and 6 and 7% interest. And I'm talking not dividend, I'm talking interest. These are notes. Notes, debentures, preferreds, those are different words, but you don't own common stock. What's the difference? Well, when you own common stock, you own the company. So let's take General Motors, take Ford, take Chrysler, all of these different companies. If you own stock in that company, you own that company. Now, you own a little tiny piece if you only own a few shares, and there's millions of shares out there. But literally, if the company gets in trouble, the value of your shares normally goes down. When they're not making money, value of your shares goes down because the value of the company goes down.
But you're talking interest, so that probably means bonds, and you're stuck into these investments for a long period of time.
So now, see, Mike's setting me up here because they're not bonds. These are called notes and preferreds and debentures, which are 100% liquid, which means they trade on the New York Stock Exchange like a share of stock, even though they're not stock. And you buy them today, you can literally sell them tomorrow. And they pay interest every 3 months. Now, what I love about this business, and I've often said this is like being Catholic, don't ask questions, it's just you are one. Sometimes you only have to own this for a week or two, even a month, and you get paid 3 months of interest.
No, well, That doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense. Well, back to being Catholic. You think that makes sense? But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. They have what's called ex dates and record dates. That means you have to own it by a certain date in order to get paid either a dividend or the interest. A couple of my favorites, you only have to own it technically 2 days before they pay to collect 3 months' worth of interest. Now, don't ask questions. These are the rules. So what I try to do with my client, when we give them information to study, and that's what I do, I'm going to show them how these things work. But the key thing is, if you're in the bank, you're making a quarter or a half. You might make a whole one.
I don't know of any bank paying one.
But on the other hand, these are 100% liquid. They pay 5 and 6 and 7% interest. By the way, I'm saying 7. One of the biggest companies in the whole country is now paying, got one that's paying 7, which is a new wrinkle. And I have utilities that are paying 5 and 6. I mean, it's just, they're wonderful instruments. Now, all of that's the good news. The bad news is, and it's not that it's bad, these have what they call call dates. Call means they can say to you, here's your money, take it back, we're done with you. That's a call. Now, the call dates on the ones I'm using are out 2, 4, and 5 years. So that means you know if you want to keep it for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you can. And they don't have to call it, but the odds are good that they will. Most all of the ones that are paying 5, 6, and 7% historically will call.
Now, you said that these are liquid. Can you buy these, and then after it pays the dividend, can you maybe sell that and get into something different?
You can sell it the next day. I mean, after it pays, technically you can even pay before. And that back, don't ask questions again. There's rules on each one of them, and that's what I counsel you on when you can sell them.
Is there expenses involved with getting into these investments?
Well, you got to pay somebody. Can you believe that? Even though we're not allowed to talk about this on a thing, the key is this. There's no such thing as a free lunch in this world, of course, unless you're a politician, but, you know, that's a different world. But the key thing that we're talking about here, the game plan of this is to hold it at least 6 months, and you'll be ahead of the bank, no doubt about it. If you hold it longer, I'm happy for you. And whether you like it or not, they pay, and the interest is ordinary income. Now, if it's in an IRA, you don't have to take the money out. There will be no tax because they're tax deferred. But if it's your own money, just, you know, money that's not into a retirement plan, not into an IRA, not a 401k or a 457, pick a number. If it's your own money, the interest is like having interest from a bank. You're going to get a 1099 once a year, and you file it with your taxes. Now, here's the key. Think about this. If I go to the bank and I get a $100,000 CD and they pay me one, that's 1%. If I go to Joe Martek, $5,000 or $100,000 at 5%, that's $5,000. Little difference, $1,000, $5,000.
Right.
And some people collect the money. They put themselves on a budget collecting $400 a month. Some take it all when it comes in. Some don't take it at all. It's entirely up to you. Anybody wants to get information, that's what we do, is give information, give counsel to try to help people make decisions.
So this is very much like a preferred stock.
Some of them are preferreds. Now, what Mike was leading to is this. Common stock means we own the company. Preferred stock, and I have no idea where they came up with these words. Back again, don't ask questions. This is just the rules. You don't own the company. You have what's called a debt instrument. A debt instrument, like when Mike does a mortgage for somebody, you sign a note. That's a debt instrument. You get a car loan, you sign a note. That's a debt instrument. You get a furniture loan, I don't care what it is. These are debt instruments. Well, that's exactly what these are, only what they're doing is they're paying you interest, and you're technically loaning them money, and they're paying you interest. And then if you ever want your money, you cash it in, and that's all there is to it.
Well, you once told me that some of these debts are even secured against real estate and assets of the company.
Well, all of them are not common stock, which means, well, let's put it this way. Let's say a company goes out of business.
Like Enron.
Okay, let's take Enron. Enron went out of business. Who got paid first? The attorneys, right?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
There's no doubt about it.
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Next came the debtors. The first debtor is real estate. Let's just say we owned a building free and clear. And the bankruptcy attorney says, okay, we're going to sell that building, and we're going to distribute the money to whatever the debtors are. If the building has a loan on it, a lien on it, that debtor gets first claim.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you just keep working yourself down to unsecured debt. They get paid. The last amount of money that goes to people are people that are common stock owners. And when companies go bankrupt, the odds are real good they're going to get nothing because there's nothing left. That's the reason they're going bankrupt. So skip all of that part. The ones that I like to use are household names and utilities. Utilities, if all of a sudden there's no electricity anymore, that means God has called everybody and we're stuck. He skipped us and we have to trade vegetables.
Yeah, and you're not going to be worried about your interest on your security.
You're not going to be worried about anything except eating.
You're going to, yeah, worried about your refrigerator running.
And your refrigerator's not even going to run because you don't have electricity. So, hey, you're going to be, it's going to be a, anyway.
So they're going to continue on. They're going to pay their debt.
So that's the whole name of the game. So anybody that wants to get information, same old thing, you call up 1-888-221-8990. Now, whether it's an IRA, individual retirement account, whether it's a Roth IRA, which is a retirement account that can grow, and when you take all the money out, it's tax-free, whether it's a 401k, which means something through work, and you're now going to leave them and roll it into your own account, 457s, 403s, there's all kinds of numbers and letters that go with these things. The newest one that we got talking about
is the solo.
The solo. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to Vince about.
$58,000 is the maximum amount between husband and wife that you can put in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, great thing. Now, what that means is this. Let's say you're making $200,000 a year, you're into a hot business right now, and you're not spending it all of it, which you shouldn't, because when it's hot, you may not get cold again.
Mm-hmm. Got to put that money away.
So what happens is, a lot of times, you don't want to pay tax on that money. In fact, you never really want to pay tax on that money. But if you don't put it into a sheltered investment, you will pay tax. So if you're an individual owning a company, owning a business, or a 1099 person, let's say you're a realtor or something like that, that you're not on a salary or you're strictly working commission, they have what's called a solo 401k, which allows you as a family, husband and wife, to put as much as $58,000 a year aside and not pay tax on it. So let's say you made $158,000.
Mm-hmm.
You could take the $58,000, don't pay tax on it, just pay tax on the $100,000. It's called tax deferred because it goes into a retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rules, as Mike knows, is when you turn 59 and one half, you can start taking money out without a penalty.
You have to pay the tax.
You have to file, and it would be subject to tax, whatever it is at that time.
Right, your tax rate at that time.
At that time. When you turn 70 and one half, if you haven't started taking money out, under most circumstances, I love that word most, you have to start taking money out. They call it a required minimum distribution, RMD, and that's roughly 4% of whatever the value of the account is that year. And then each year as you get a little older, you're supposed to take out more until you hit 115.
If it lasts that long.
if you're not dead and they want you to take your last dollar, give or take. And I'm goofy, but here's the basic thing. When you turn 70, you have to take out roughly 4% of the account. When you turn 90, you have to take out roughly 10% of the value of the account.
Mm-hmm.
And in between 70 and 90, it goes up a little bit each year percentage-wise.
Well, what I liked about it, because I was comparing that to a SEP IRA,
right?
And the 401k, in most cases, allows you to borrow against that.
Yeah,
and,
that too.
As long as you repay it over a five-year period.
Right.
So it's not, I wouldn't consider it liquid, but it is available.
Well, it is liquid also if you want to take and pay penalty and taxes.
Right. No one wants to pay the penalty and taxes.
You know, here's what happens, folks. If you take money out of a retirement account prior to age 59 and one half, you have a 10% penalty under most circumstances. There are some exceptions based on buying a house, first-time home,
mm-hmm.
and the 401k has more exceptions than almost any other kind of retirement plan. So this solo IRA can be a real boon.
Yeah, because the one I'm looking at right now allows you to borrow 50% of the value up to $50,000.
And they all do, as long as it's a solo
401k. And you do have to repay it in a five-year period.
Yep, and they charge you an interest rate, but it's you're basically paying yourself back,
right.
And you get to use the money in the meantime. So there are some benefits to these that you don't have in other traditional types of investments. So it's worth, like Mike was saying, let's just take a normal IRA. A normal IRA, if you're under age 50, you can put $5,500 into it and not pay tax on that 55.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're over 50, you can put $6,500 in. If you go into what Mike is saying about a SEP, S-E-P, IRA, You can go 15,000, 18,000, whatever the number. I don't have it exactly on top of my head, but you can put more aside. But there are other restrictions based on who you work for and if you have to put it in for other employees or whatever. Mm-hmm. The 401k, you have to have an employer. Well, if you are the employer, you're self-employed, they have what's called the solo IRA, which allows you to put a lot bigger amount of money in. Now, you have no employees now, just you.
Just you and your spouse, I think.
And your spouse, you can match the same amount of money as long as she's not working and drawing a 401k from her work. You got a double-edged sword there. But mm-hmm. anyway, if it was only $29,000, that's the pretty high number for a single person, $58,000 for a husband and wife. And it doesn't mean you have to do it every year either. You can do it one time. You never have to keep paying it in. You can let that sit.
Right. Well, if you're the boss, you're the employer, you can make that call as you assess your income and your tax burden.
1-888-221-8990. I got sidetracked here for a second here thinking about something. You know, walking and chewing gum is tough. 1-888-221-8990. Anybody that's got questions that we can help with you on real estate, mortgages, investments, 401ks, IRAs, rollovers. Most people know, some don't. You can transfer your existing IRA from one company to another. You can go from the bank to a brokerage account. You can go from a brokerage account to a bank.
And you can go from a 401k to an IRA, but you can't go from an IRA to a 401k.
Correct. But the key thing is this. Each time you make this move, it's not taxed. The only time you pay tax is if you put it in your pocket and spend it.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, if you roll it over or transfer it, there's a tax-free exchange. So these are important things. So there's all kinds of different numbers that are retirement accounts that are what's called tax-deferred because you've not paid the tax on the money while you're putting it in. And then when you start taking it out, you have to pay the tax or it's subject to. But in the meantime, if you move it from point A to point B, company A to company B, it's a rollover or a transfer, and it's a tax-free exchange.
What I like about that solo 401k is it gives you a lot more opportunity to direct the investment to where you want it to be.
Well, especially if it's solo, because here's what happens with a 401k. I work for a company, and the company has a 401k program set up. And in that, they have set up 10 different types of investments, or 5 or 15.
And usually they're mutual funds of some sort.
And you're limited to those. Those are the only ones you can go into. Well, there's only 30,000 out there, but you're limited to 5 or 10 or 15. That doesn't make them bad, but that's the rules. But once you have a self-directed account, you're unlimited to your options as long as they're approved by the government.
Sure.
Let me just answer this phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, yes. My name is Diane. I have a financial question about a car.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my question is, I'm upside down on my new car, which is now 2013, and I want to get out of my car payment, and I needed some advice, and I wanted to know, is it wise of me to buy a good used car cash to get out of my car payment? What do you think would be a wise thing to do?
Well, it's a tough one. First, if you owe more than the car is worth, in order to get out of it, you got to pay it off. Now, if you buy a used car for cash, you have to have enough cash to first pay off the one that you're driving that you're upside down on, and then come out and pay cash for your used car. So unless you've got a pretty big stash of cash, you got a bit of a problem. Now, yeah. Sometimes you can go back to a dealer and say, okay, fine, I'm upside down, and they will put you into a used car, and maybe your payment will go down, but you're still going to be upside down. Because, I mean, it's a catch-22. Some people stay upside down almost forever because whenever they trade, they always owe $1,000 or $2,000 more than the car is worth, and they stay upside down and keep making that big payment. So I guess the end of this is, if you can bite the bullet and pay more on your car loan than you right now than you're paying on a regular monthly basis, they will accept more money. And in almost all cases, the excess money above the amount that you have to pay will go straight to principal, won't go to interest, and that'll pay that car off quicker. So if you've got cash, you might just want to get with your bank and say, hey, I want to put a big chunk of that cash down on a car now and get rid of that loan as fast as you possibly can.
You know, Joe, I'm a big advocate for buying used cars. I haven't purchased a new car in probably 20 years.
I understand.
I always believe that somebody else should take the hit for the depreciation. And unfortunately, in this situation, it's our caller.
Yeah. Here's your problem. So now you already own this car and you're upside down. So in order to get out from under it, you can't walk away. If you do, your credit's messed up for a long, long time and you pay cash. You don't want to do that. So literally, do you know what your interest rate is on the car?
No, I think it might be like 2.5.
Well, that's a great rate.
That's a great, great, great rate. So I would talk to your bank, the one you owe the money to, and just say, listen, I want to pay an extra $100 a month on that loan. Is that okay? And I'm sure they're going to say yes, because that money will go straight to your principal. And before you know it, you're not upside down anymore. And then when you're not upside down, you can sell that car and go buy your used car and pay cash, or at least when you finance it, you won't be upside down.
Yeah.
You understand what we're saying?
Yeah. What you're saying is basically bite the bullet.
Honey, I hate to say it. There's no easy way out.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. This has been one of my biggest problems, is the financing of a car. And, I usually, unfortunately, make emotional decisions, make a mistake, and then I'm in a hole.
Yep.
I'm in a hole, and that's what happened this time. And, it's a nice car. It's a Toyota Camry.
Yep. Here's
it's a nice car.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt.
But I owe too much on it.
My theory is, on a depreciating asset, like a car or a boat or an airplane or whatever the heck you're buying, you put as much money down on that vehicle as you can, and if you can, pay cash, because a lot of these dealers will give you 100% financing.
Yeah.
And they're just setting you up for disaster.
But here's the key: once you've already done it, you're stuck, and the only way out, again, let's double up on the payments, or $100 extra a month. Let's just say you're paying $300 now. If you can pay $350 or $400, it'll just reduce that principal quickly, and at some point you won't be upside down anymore.
Yep.
Then you have a new decision to make: either keep it now that it's paid off, and then it'll start looking better to you when it's paid off, I guarantee you that.
Yep.
Cars that are free and clear look really good.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't notice the scratches and the dents.
So, yep. Yep.
I might be able to get like $14,000 for it. That's what
that's the market value, you think, for it?
Agent value, I've looked at that, and what I owe is almost $200,000.
No, $20,000.
$20,000.
I was just going to say, I don't think a dealer could get you that far upside down. See, what happens, you've got $6,000 more than you owe, so let's say you could pay an extra $100 a month on that, plus what you're paying already. It would probably take you, believe it or not, only a couple of years, and all of a sudden you might be in good shape.
Yep.
But
so once I'm in good shape and get it down to the 14, should I continue to try to do it, or do you think I should just try to get another car, pay it in cash?
Here's the problem you've got. Today it's worth 14. Tomorrow it's going to be worth 13.9. The day after that, it's going to be worth 13.8. It's going to keep going down in value as you're paying it. So what you want to do is pay more in as fast as humanly possible to try to get it down, because cars depreciate. They're not going to go up in value, and that 14 is going to keep going down at the rate of $50 or $70 or $100 a month, and I don't know the figure. But you could easily look up your car, a 2013 Camry, your model, and look up a 2012 and see what the difference in value is, and it might be $1,000 or $1,500 difference, and you can see what would happen in 1 year's time. So if, let's say, it's $1,000, that's almost $100 a month that you're losing each month on that car. But if you're paying more than $100 a month towards principal, you're whittling away on top of your depreciation. Again, here's what you said. It ain't looking good, but the bottom line is, you made the mistake, you bite the bullet, and you won't make that mistake again.
Yeah, you're going to learn.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
On depreciating assets, you put a lot of money down. On appreciating assets like real estate, you put as little money down. Because
yep.
your chances of being upside down in that, even though we went through a very difficult period.
But traditionally,
it's highly unlikely that you'll be upside down.
I will
down
tell you, some of the old guy rules is, if it depreciates, pay cash. If it appreciates, pay as little as cash as you possibly can, because yep. it's going to be worth more than you owe. Well, yep. you're beyond the rule. Forget the rule. You now are in trouble. And as long as you can handle it, this is a lesson, and you'll counsel other people just like we are, and hopefully they'll listen, and you didn't. And from there we go, right?
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, I appreciate it because I do want to get better at this, you know, because this is one of my hardest things. And you know, sometimes, you know, God definitely has a way of teaching us hard lessons sometimes.
Yes.
You need to learn and humble out and ask questions and get advice.
Well, most lessons that are learned hard are not forgotten. So this is one that you're learning the hard way. You are not going to forget it, and you will counsel people, and they'll do the same dumb thing, and you'll say, told you. Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, good luck to you. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate it.
Bye. 8, we're running out of time, are we, Mother? Does Karen look like she should be my mother?
No.
You know how old Karen is?
I'm
not allowed to tell because she'd hit me. Well, she was scared to death right there that I was going to
tell. She's a lot younger than you, though.
I know. Everybody's younger than me, Mike. 1-888-2. Why are you turning pale, Karen? 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. We probably don't have time for any more phone calls. In fact, I know we don't. But you call the radio station. Karen will take your name and number, and we'll call you back. I don't care if it's a question for Mike Paulus on mortgages, Victoria Lloyd on real estate, Dan Warren on an insurance product, Vince Rosino on taxes, Greg Fasula on legal matters, mm-hmm. or Joe Martek on finances. Have I covered it, Mike?
Yes, you did.
Is there anything
left? Pastor Tom.
Pastor Tom? Hey, everybody pray for Pastor Tom because he's a hurting puppy. We don't think we're going to lose him, but boy, he's gone through a really rough, rough time. Yes. 1 month ago, almost to the day, he says quadruple because he can't spell five tuple.
But he's still alive and kicking, and that's all that matters.
And they had to do a redo last week on something, which has knocked him out for a while. But he's everybody I know, Mike, and maybe you know, that have had bypass surgery, it's been a lease on life. It gave him a new yes. window to go. So we go. Anyway, we're down to 1 minute. Is that right, Mother? And that she loves that. I have a daughter her age. No. Anyway, folks, we really appreciate you listening, and we're here to help. At any time, anyone in our group can help. You've got a group of local professionals that all live here, work here. I hope to die here, not necessarily soon, but if God takes me, it's not the end of the world. You'd like it not to be right now where I'm on the radio, Mike, because the police would come and wonder why you killed me, but, you know, it's...
I couldn't host this show without you.
Thank you so much. See, Karen could host it, though, because she talks way too much. Karen, say goodbye. Tell us to leave. Come on.
You don't have to leave.
I don't have to leave. How many seconds do we have left?
You can't be on the air anymore.
We can't be on the air anymore, but I don't have to leave.
10 seconds.
She says there is a toilet cleaning brush back there that needs somebody. She can let me do that. Hey, folks, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and until next week, God bless you.
God bless you.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.